Going to talk about open fracture management. This is an important topic because a lot of people can lose a lot of work time. They can be disabled for long periods of time. Of course, if osteomyelitis develops, this can be an extremely devastating sequelae. So I think some understanding of basic principles and hopefully gaining some experience how to manage these successfully is really helpful for those who manage trauma. So the first thing is open fractures, you need to get antibiotics, right? IV antibiotics. Easier said than done, unfortunately, when this has actually been looked at. It's been found that at some centers, sometimes the patients just don't get the antibiotics as quickly as you think they do. Certainly, we've seen this in our own institution where getting gentamicin administered emergently can be difficult because it's weight-based and it's not right there readily in the ER in the doses you need it. So keep it in mind. See to it. If you need to, put systems in place so that this can be coordinated and administered in an efficient manner. There are some studies that have shown this to be one of the only factors within our control that can have a significant impact on infection rates. So I think that's the first thing to keep in mind. The second thing is with open fractures is that you want to treat them urgently with irrigation and debridement. Now, timing of debridement is a sort of a source of controversy. Certainly, it used to be that we would treat all of these as emergencies, and this was never based on really great data, and we are now learning that perhaps many of these are not necessarily emergencies. That said, it takes, I think, a certain degree of expertise and comfort level to determine, you know, what's something that really needs to go right away and what's something that can possibly wait. It also requires a center where there is flexibility. You know, you may not be working at a place where you can just put something on first thing in the morning and have a first start. There may be already a room full of cases and patients coming in that morning for surgery that you can't just say, well, you know, just put it on first thing in the morning and expect that to happen. So that is somewhat institution dependent. And at that a place like that, like open fracture, maybe it's just better just get done at night when you know it's you err on the side of caution. You know you're not going to be able to just, you know, flip it into the first room, first case of the day. What about open fracture types? Gustilo classification still is the primary means of communication amongst physicians, so you really need to be fully aware of it. Type 1, type 2, type 3A, 3B, and 3C. The type 1s generally have a fairly low risk of infection. Nevertheless, there is still a rate of infection that you need to be concerned about. They need to get antibiotics. They should be debrided, and I think most centers, they are treated like any other open fracture. And in some centers, I think you've seen perhaps that they are not treated as urgently or with any formal debridement. Certainly at our center, they are treated as any other open fracture, meaning that they get an IND. Type 2 open fractures clearly are at higher risk. These are fractures that are more than a poke hole, usually like 1 to 10 centimeters wound with without any substantial stripping. And then type 3As are bigger wounds and more stripping or segmental fractures. And then type 3Bs require flaps. And 3Cs are fractures with vascular injury requiring repair. Okay, so not necessarily just vascular injury that the vascular team decides doesn't need anything done because they already have two other vessels perfusing the leg, for instance. Important to mention that most surgeons who treat a lot of these would tell you that it's really debridement in irrigation. Debridement of the devitalized tissues is really important. And I think a lot of times we feel really good about, you know, washing out an open fracture, and you kind of like, you know, the solution to pollution is dilution, right? And you just sort of wash, wash, wash. And, you know, a lot of times we tell people, I'm taking an open fracture to wash it out. The washing is really a real small part of everything that you need to do. you need to debride devitalized tissues. You need to clean the wound. You need to clean the bone ends. You need to stabilize the fracture. So you need to do a lot of things. Washing it out is just one part of it. And it's interesting, you know, a lot of times, you know, open fractures, debride months, stuff like that, get left to the most junior person or inexperienced people. These are injuries that can truly, if not managed properly, truly lead to significant sequela and disability down the road. Certainly if you are that patient, I don't know if you would appreciate knowing the fact that you have the most junior, inexperienced person or someone who didn't even know about the case that was just thrown in to cover a washout, in quotes, when in fact that patient may require a very critical and purposeful debridement to prevent them from going on to getting an infection, which can be very devastating. So I've said this several times because I think it's really worth noting that understand what's involved in treating these patients besides just flowing water through a wound. Now, I mentioned stabilization, right? Stabilization is important. Why are open fractures always like a surgical indication to fix? Well, it's because they have a fracture. If it's unstabilized, it's going to cause repeated soft tissue injury. And it's therefore important to stabilize it to prevent that repeated soft tissue injury and allow that wound bed and the fracture to settle down. And of course, it helps to have definitive treatment also for appropriate fracture alignment and going on to heal appropriately. But the reason why open fractures are often a surgical indication for fixation is because the stabilization helps with preventing repeated injury to the soft tissues. Okay, and the other thing is, a lot of times you can't assess wounds for infection. You can't do repeated post-operative physical examinations on the patient if they're all wrapped up in a cast. Okay. So other alternative, or I should say adjunctive treatments other than antibiotic debridement and all this, antibiotic beads, okay? Think about it. This is a way, it solves two issues. One is dead space, right? When you have open fracture and you have bone void and soft tissue voids, you sometimes have dead space. Hematoma can collect. Antibiotic beads, where you take polymethyl methacrylate, cement, and add stuff like vancomycin and tobramycin and heat-stable antibiotic powders. This can deliver tremendously high doses of antibiotics, far beyond what you can safely administer IV, and it's locally right where you need it, and it takes up dead space. So it's something not a lot of people think about when they're taking a fracture, an open fracture, to the OR, right? Because all you're thinking about is just irrigating it, right? When you're there, especially if that's a patient that you're going to have to bring back, like a type 3B, great opportunity for antibiotic beads. So keep that in mind. Now, what about eventual coverage? Well, in type 3Bs, you generally want to get them covered within a week, maybe a little bit longer. You generally don't want these things going like 2, 3, 4 weeks or something like that with an open wound. So it's very important that you coordinate very early on with a surgeon who's comfortable doing soft tissue coverage, whether it's just skin graft or it's going to be a rotational flap or it's going to be a free tissue transfer. And of course, the more complex you get, the more expertise you need with the surgery team managing it, and more likely you need another team to help out, and that requires some coordination, and that's where delays potentially can happen. One other thing I didn't really touch on too much was antibiotic timing and the types of antibiotics. So there are a few different protocols out there. We certainly use one at our institution that we feel is reasonably evidence-based. Most type 1s, type 2s can be treated with cephalosporins up to 24 hours after wound closure. Type 2s, you can also consider adding an immunoglycoside like gentamicin in a weight-based once-a-day treatment. And then for type 3As, I'm sorry, for the type 3s, you can continue the antibiotics for like 72 hours sometimes after wound closure. Again, there's some protocols, different guidelines, clinical guidelines that are out there for this. But most of them, if you look at it, you realize they're actually, you know, giving less duration of antibiotics than you may think is needed. I think judicious use of local antibiotics is helpful. And also keep in mind, if you have so-called farmyard or fecal contamination from animals, that you should consider adding a penicillin as well. So those, I think, are some basic tips and pearls about open fractures. I'm over my time. I hope that was helpful for you. Thanks.